Somewhere out there is a rebellion. Someday, children like us will not be held captive, made to work as slaves. Someday, the world will be different. There is hope. Just as in Star Wars and in so many other stories, those tales told by children, tales told by slaves, tales told by those who seem to have no hope, seem to have no advocate, are really just idle tales, aren't they? What can they mean? Children imagining stories. And yet, tales like that, for centuries and millennia, have caused the powerful to tremble and to fear. Just as the monster in the clip that we just saw from The Last Jedi of the Star Wars series, those who are in power, those who believe that the way that things are is the way that things ought to continue to be, fear those tales, those seemingly idle tales, because within those stories lies one ever important ingredient, hope. Hope. The belief that something that we can't see, the belief that something that we can't seem to grasp yet is nevertheless true. What does it mean for us today as Christian people on this Resurrection Day of all days to proclaim with hope that He is risen? To say with assuredness that because Christ is risen, that even though the world seems not to be the way that it ought to be, that God's power is at work. God's power has not stopped, and God's power moves in and through every one of us. It makes all the difference in the world. It turns what might be an idle tale into a powerful proclamation. Luke tells us that women, many women, Mary, Joanna, Mary, and other women, went to the tomb to take spices to help to prepare the body. What they discovered there were two men who asked them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Who shared with them that He has risen. And they went off to tell the others. And yet, they weren't received well. Their tale was not received well. The NRSV says idle tale. In the Greek, it's leros, which is translated variously. It only shows up a couple of times in our Bible, but means something like nonsense. In fact, the Latin Vulgate translation of that Greek word is the word from which we get our word delirium and delirious. They told the tale, "He is risen." And those who first heard that tale thought they were crazy. They thought they were senseless. They thought they had lost it. They couldn't believe the story. After all, what would it mean to believe that Jesus Christ is risen? What would it mean to believe that Jesus Christ is risen? It must have been a shock for those, I suppose, male or mostly male disciples, when these women disciples came to them and told them what had happened. It was seemingly a shock to the women. They were surprised to find the tomb empty. They were surprised to hear what the two men said to them. And yet they went away with a tale full of truth and full of wonder, a proclamation of resurrection, and they weren't believed. They supposed it was an idle tale. What I'd like to ask today is, what will it take for us to proclaim the truth of Jesus' resurrection in such a way that it is not only for us a true tale, not only for us an actual proclamation, not only for us our true belief, but so that others don't receive it as an idle tale. And what will it mean for us to hear this resurrection news and to take it in to ourselves so that it can flow through our own lives? Been debating all week whether I was going to translate idle tale one more way, and I'm going to go ahead and do it. Fake news. Right? Not believable for a number of reasons. Let's unpack that a little bit. What does it mean to receive something and say that it's an idle tale? On the one hand, it could be that the story doesn't fit with what we normally hear. Well, the resurrection story absolutely meets that criterion, doesn't it? We don't normally hear that our teacher, who has been crucified by the Romans, has been raised by God. We don't expect that. We expect that, having been crucified by the Romans, that our teacher is dead and gone, and we are sad and scattered, and we don't know what to do. We don't expect that he is risen. So it may be that when we hear something that we don't expect, our first reaction is to say, that's an idle tale. And yet, if we close our ears to those things that we hadn't expected, we might miss a lot of very wonderful stuff. Imagine if the disciples had just called it quits after that, and they'd said to these other disciples, this is an idle tale, and they had never, ever fully realized the resurrection. What would they have missed? This resurrection story is a reminder to all of us to open our hearts and ears and minds and to consider what we hear. There might be wonder in the story. There might be possibility in the story. There might be hope and promise in the stories that we will hear. So it's not what we would expect. That might be a reason to say that this is nonsense. You're delirious. This is an idle tale. But there are others, I think. Notice that, as is always the case in the Gospels, it was the women who went to the cross. It was the women who went to the tomb. It was women who received the proclamation of the risen Christ. And yet it is the men who time and time again don't believe the women have much to say. Let's unpack that for a moment from the gospel story, shall we? And then we'll come to present day, where we'll have to do a whopping bunch of unpacking. At the gospel stories, it reads like this. Something incredible happens in the ministry of Jesus, and people proclaim love for him and follow him. And when things get tough, the men split and the women stay there, and they're in love with him, and he loves them, and they listen to him. And he's with them, and then God arranges for the women to hear and see God's truth and sends them to tell that truth. And the men who split when things got rough don't believe what God trusted the women to say. I think that's a fair reading of the gospel account. God trusts the women to communicate the story. The male disciples don't trust the women to communicate the story. What if they hadn't communicated the story? Present day, I'm being facetious now. Does it ever happen that women tell us important stories that men don't believe? Time and time again, women tell us important stories that men don't believe.
One of the things that this resurrection affirmation suggests, I think, is that we need to listen closely. We need not to write off people because of the news that they bear, because the news seems like nonsense, and we ought not write off people because we don't appreciate who they are. We don't fully understand their humanity, their gifts, and the ways in which they are sent from God. It seems that that closing off of communications from the side of the male disciples took some decidedly gendered lines in the resurrection story. And it seems as if that also happens in present day, but it happens in so many other ways. Think about the people who are written off time and time again because of any number of reasons: whom they love, the color of their skin, where they're from, their original language, how much money they have in the bank, how much power they have in the marketplace. Unless the right person says it at the right time and it's the right message, we write it off as an idle tale. How much do we miss? What if in early days, not only the male disciples had written off the female disciples, but then what if when the male disciples and the female disciples went out and began to speak to other people, people who were not Jewish, people who did not speak Aramaic or Greek, people who lived in other places, people who had great power, and told the story of the resurrection, and nobody had believed them because of their status or their gender? Where would the proclamation be today? And I ask, where would the proclamation be today? But I don't ask, where would the resurrection be today? If a Savior rises from a tomb and no one's there to see it, he is still risen. But if a Savior rises from a tomb and nobody bothers to say it, how will the world know? And that's the third way, unfortunately, that idle tales sometimes stay idle as tales. So the first one, of course, is it seems like nonsense. It seems crazy. We don't understand it. It's not what we expected. The second one is it's from somebody to whom we're not giving enough credit, that we've demeaned in some way. We don't want to accept what they have to say to us. But the third one is this: if we don't take it to heart and share it with other people, if we don't share this resurrection story and its meaning and its hope, it becomes an idle tale today. Now, this is a tale that had a bumpy start. The women weren't sure, but the men, angels, I'm guessing, convinced them. The men weren't sure, and they did what men did, of course. They didn't listen, they didn't follow directions, and they ran off to see what they could find out. Apparently, angels visiting other disciples wasn't enough for them. But finally, as sometimes happens with men, they got it. My wife's behind me shaking her head probably right now. He never gets it. I ask each of us today to consider, have we got it? Have we got the story that the Romans crucified Jesus for saying and doing the wrong things, for loving everyone, for pushing back against imperial power, for proclaiming God is the God of all people and all creation, for forgiving, for loving, for dining with and walking with the people? He was dead. The Romans were very good at crucifixion. In Bible study last week, we were reading about crucifixion, and the question came up, had people crucified before the Romans? And our resident Bible study internet looker-upper, John Christensen, looked it up, and we found out that, yes, for hundreds of years, people had been crucifying peoples, but the Romans perfected it. Torture and death. He was dead. he was gone. And for so many, likely he was forgotten. But then the women who went to the tomb heard, saw, and believed the good news, and they ran off to tell their tale. They ran off with the euangelium, the good news of the resurrection. They ran off to tell and to live what they believed and they had seen. Sometimes a tale is considered an idle tale if the person telling us doesn't seem to believe it. If we get together in this place today and we sing Christ the Lord is risen today, and we have beautiful lilies and we ring beautiful bells and we listen to a beautiful organ and all of the beautiful instruments, and we read from the beautiful gospel, but we don't carry forth in our lives the message that Christ is risen, people will consider it an idle tale. Let's say that we overcome the first two obstacles. Let's say that for some reason people are willing to listen to the nonsense that Christ is risen, that the Romans could not snuff out his life for good, that his ministry could not be ended by crucifixion. Let's say we get over that hurdle, and let's say then we get over the next hurdle, that people are willing to listen to us. They don't write us off because of our gender, our sexuality, or our poverty, or our wealth, or our country of origin, or our language. Let's just say we get over those first two hurdles. And that's asking a lot. Will we proclaim this story as those who believe it enough to live as if it were true? You see, if Christ is risen, that means Jesus was right about a few things. That means when Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor, theirs is the kingdom of heaven," or the kingdom of God, he was right. When Jesus said that God is our loving parent, he was right. When Jesus said that all are welcome to eat with him, when Jesus went out into the world and he healed all of those who had need, when Jesus said, "Learn what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice," when Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself," when Jesus distilled his tradition in the way that it had many times been distilled already to say that loving God and loving everyone else as ourselves is the way to live our lives, he was right. If we believe that he is risen, and we believe that he was right, we'll live our lives as if those things are true. When we encounter those who are hungry, we will find a way to offer them food. When we encounter those who are other than us, we will find a way to understand that they are part of God's creation and we are called to love them and call them neighbor and be neighbors to them. When we are called to answer whether or not we believe that a creative, redemptive, loving God exists and continues to live and put forth life into the universe, we will proclaim that with words and with deeds wherever we go. I got to tell you, there are days when people tell the good news that he is risen, but I can't see through their lives that they actually believe it to be true. I got to tell you, there are days when the words roll off of my lips that he is risen, but I'm sure that the people around me can't see in my life that I truly believe that it's a fact. If we believe that he is risen, because we proclaim that he is risen, we are called to live lives of praise, of love, of welcome, of grace, and of hope. In that way, this seemingly idle tale can be powerful and can grow and can inspire. Even those who find themselves in moments of fear and seeming hopelessness. You know, when I first saw that Star Wars scene last year in the theater, tears were rolling down my eyes because I thought to myself, oh my goodness, they're telling the Christian story, as far as I can tell, or part of it. A story that's so hard to believe for people who are so pushed down that little slave children in their spare time when the master's not looking tell the story of what happened. Now, of course, the Star Wars story is different. It was about Luke Skywalker and Jedi Knights and lightsabers and the rebel army. The little children gathered there in the dark with wide eyes heard that story, and it began to change their lives. That's how it began. Siblings in Christ. Little groups, scared and confused people, little groups of folks who just weren't sure that there was a future for them, but they clung to this story. They clung to the hope. They clung to the idea that God is a powerful, life-giving God and that love cannot be crucified once and for all, but that love is victorious. And they told the story. And time again, masters who seem like monsters want to stop that story. Because if we believe that Jesus was right, and we start providing care and love to everyone, and if we start listening to everyone, and if we start embracing everyone, things will have to change. And masters who seem like monsters don't like it when things have to change. So the world pushes in so many ways for us not to tell our story. The world pushes in so many ways for our story to be written off as an idle tale. You know, when the African slaves here in North America began to hear about the Christian story and began to tell that story to one another, their masters, who seemed like monsters, made sure that they couldn't have the whole story. In fact, they actually printed slave Bibles. The white masters printed slave Bibles. And what did they do in those slave Bibles? They took out all the stuff about God being a loving, inclusive, liberating God. And they left in all the stuff about obey your masters and do whatever you're told, because they were afraid of the story. They knew it wasn't an idle tale. They knew it had power for freedom, power for hope, power for dignity. People of God, it has power today. As we leave this place to tell this story, even though I know to so many ears it sounds absurd, it sounds as if we're delirious, it sounds like an idle tale, let us tell it with gusto. And even though we will tell it to some who will write us off because of our gender or whom we love or the color of our skin or the language we speak or our place of origin or the money that we do or don't have, let us tell it. Tell it with gusto. And when we tell it, let's remember that if we're only saying, but we're not doing, people won't believe. They'll hear a vibrant tale from our mouths and see an idle tale in our lives. Sisters and brothers in Christ, people of God, this is no idle tale. Let us celebrate the resurrection. Let us say together in all that we do as a community, He is risen. And let us live the love, the power, and the hope that this message inspires. Because that's the message we have received. And let us listen closely to what we hear from others. Let us weigh carefully what they say to us. For there may be other tales that we need to hear and that we might be able to tell. And let us listen to those that we might have otherwise marginalized. Men, listen to women. What they say is important. We need to hear their voices. God trusted them. God trusts them. Why can't we? White people, listen to people of color. We need to listen to them. They have things to say. We need to hear their voices. God created them just as God created us. God trusts and loves them. Why should not we? People with money, listen to people without money. People with power, listen to people without power. People who speak a first language that's spoken all around, listen to those who don't speak that as their first language. Listen. There are tales to be heard and tales worth telling. And then live. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, we ought to live with hope as a people of promise, with a powerful, not an idle tale to tell. And on this day and on every day, let us thank and praise our God for the truth that we proclaim. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Amen.